other one grow up. I want things to stay the way they are.
Can't stop time, Wendy. Whether you like it or not.
Did it?
I don't think that's a bug.
She is a fairy.
Are you Peter Pan?
Were you expecting someone else?
Da, 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 da!
You sound insane. You realize that?
Yeah.
The whole world got crazy.
Seriously?
It's showtime.
It's a new movie. From a man on the Mount Rushmore, the Mam Mount Rushmore of directors, David Lowery. This one comes to us via the OTT service of Disney Plus. It's Peter Pan and Wendy, the topic of discussion on this week's Mam. I'm Kent, joined by co-hosts Richard and Brian. Brian, how many times has Coop watched Super Mario and or Dungeons and Dragons in the past 3 weeks?
So watched Super Mario is quite a few times, thanks to the high seas. We had, you had his 10th birthday last week. We did a birthday party on Saturday. 10 years old, by the way. That makes me feel very
happy
old.
Birthday, Coop. Side note.
Yeah.
Big listener, Coop.
Slightly younger than the podcast. Slightly.
Can you tell Coop to stop sending us one-star reviews, though?
Yeah, he's
that'd be nice.
He's not happy about the way you guys talked about Sonic 2. He's not not gonna let that slide. He wanted to have a video game party. My wife, you guys know, super party person, like loves to plan a gathering and a party. Takes it just way too far, usually just kind of over the top. But also, this is like a very, very stressful time of life right now for her and for us, work and other stuff. And, that she's dealing with our like, church. So anyway, regardless, I was like, I'm going to help you. I'm going to save some time with this. I'm just going to get a video game truck. Cause that's what he wants to do. He wants to play video games with his friends. I'm like, I'll just get a video game truck, park it in front of the house. It'll be fine. That's like $500 an hour. I was like, okay, I can't pull that off, man. It was so much more expensive than I was prepared.
What's it called? Cidercade?
Yeah, I thought about doing something like that or even just like Main Event, whatever. We ended up settling on it. It ended up being fine. We like talked him into kind of reducing the guest list down to like 8 or 10 kids. And I just put every TV in the house, I parked in the living room. So there was like a 5-screen setup.
And y'all just plugged in a bunch of systems.
Yeah, we borrowed everybody's that's Nintendo Switches, man. Basically.
That's,
so they could all play. Yeah, so they could all play Mario Kart at the same time. They could all play, you know, whatever, Mario Deluxe, things like that. Went really well. But I started the party with, I was like, all right, everybody's coming in, I'm gonna put Super Mario Brothers on the screen, and it was quite a big hit. All the kids were walking around singing, quote unquote, singing the Peaches song. So, you know, it was
love it.
It was a good time. It's a good time.
We got a bunch of big movies coming out still. Guardians 3, the much anticipated. Let's go. Guardians 3, I guess the end of the Guardians coming out this weekend. And then the Indiana Jones movie is getting a lot of hype. I saw Steven Spielberg commented on that. So we'll have a review of that coming out on the main feed here too. We're talking all-time bad movies on the VIP feed this year. And we have what could be the worst comedy of all time. Ishtar as the topic of conversation this week at the VIP. So make sure you're subscribed for that at madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP. Great way to get more episodes from us and great way to support the show. Make sure that we keep doing podcasts. Guys, I got to admit, this was one of the most anticipated, if not the most anticipated Disney remakes for me. Loved Peter Pan growing up. Probably the most rewatched VHS besides the Star Wars trilogy.
Really?
In my household was the original Peter Pan. Probably, okay. I don't know, if Plex or streaming had been a thing and you looked like, how many times have I watched this in the past 3 years. Spotify, it would have been like, it would have been like 695. It was like, no, it was like an everyday I wake up and put on Peter Pan type of thing from when I was one until five, essentially.
Right.
And then when Hook came out, I mean, just took it. I mean, that was the most hyped moment of all time, which we talked about in the VIP on that throwback episode. But man, I was so high on Peter Pan as a kid. This was kind of before the Disney Renaissance truly hit in the 90s. Mm-hmm. This is like late 80s. And so the only Disney movies to latch onto were A, the ones that they would release on VHS because they would keep them in the Disney vault. Remember that whole drama? That's a topic for another day, Brian.
Yeah.
But Peter Pan was one of those. And that one and Robin Hood, the original Robin Hood, were the ones that I just attached to the most from those. Maybe it's because they were the most boyish. I don't know if that was the case. The adventure aspect was higher in those, but was super in on this one. Brian, were you anticipating Peter Pan and Wendy? And where do you fall on Peter Pan in general?
I got to be honest with you. I was only anticipating this because of the director. I liked Peter Pan fine. It was Robin Hood was my go-to of all the Disney movies, and still is to this day. It's the number one. I love Robin Hood. Peter Pan's a classic. I love Hook. Your adult critics, you can suck it. I was so upset to discover that adults hated Hook. I think Hook rules, and I'm gonna stick to that. Because I was 8 when it came out, and that was just like a perfect movie.
And you're Facebook friends with Rashawn Hammond, so those two things.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I've got the Rufio back tat. I mean, it's a lifestyle that I live over here, and I'm all about it. All about it. The deal to me with Peter Pan is just like, okay, we've kind of done this, right? Like, I get the public domain and all that stuff.
Yeah, we got to stop with the public domain adaptation. Please, same with Pinocchio. Falls in the same category. Yeah,
I've gotten to the point where I actually think public domain is a bad thing.
Cinderella,
I think we got to...
Just wait till Mickey Mouse gets in the public domain next year, Brian.
Yeah.
I think we got
to... Beatles is going to be brutal, too, because every movie is going to be just Beatles scored to death. Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean... Maybe we don't want to get too far into it. I hope Disney wins all those lawsuits. I genuinely do. I know that that's bad. Like, that's super capitalism of me, but I don't want this. I think that maybe there's a reason for copyright laws. I don't know, but.
You mentioned that when Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey was my number one.
I can't
one
stand
last
that
year.
Stuff. I hate it so much. I hate that it exists. It's.
Honestly,
like,
it's
total violation to me of like what public domain is supposed to be. Like,
yes, it's
domain.
A violation.
The law needs to be updated. To
it's
be
a total violation, but also like kind of a hack. Like these dudes are making these movies for like 10 grand and they're just calling them crazy things and they're making so much money. Yeah. I think it's kind of genius. Like, I'm kind of jealous I didn't come up with that idea. Guys, let's make the dumbest Winnie the Pooh horror movie because it's public domain. Like, I'm jealous.
Hey, let's look up public domain and we can figure something out. I'm pretty sure.
It 50x its budget. Made 100K. It cost 100K and made 5.2 million. Good for
yes. So there you go.
Reese, Frank Waterfield.
So, I think there's a room for stuff like maybe niche stuff like that. That's kind of a bit in and of itself, but we got to stop trying to make the Jungle Book movies, guys. You know, like these big.
There's got to be an end at some point.
We have to stop.
Yeah. So that's my deal with Peter Pan. I'd kind of forgotten any details about this movie when I turned it on last night and I saw Jude Law pop up as Captain Hook. I was like, hasn't Jude Law already played Captain Hook in a Peter Pan movie? Like, it really took me a while to figure out.
That was Hugh Jackman.
That was Hugh Jackman. Okay. Yeah. All right. So it wasn't Jude Law. But no, I mean, I know that this is not like Peter Pan has not been overdone nearly as much as Pinocchio has, but it's in that same group to me. We did it like the Disney versions is fine to good, maybe very good. I love Hook. If you don't love Hook, you're wrong, but that's okay. We could just leave it there, right? Like, we don't need any more when you add in the dozen or so mainstream attempts that have been done over the last 30 years or whatever.
Remember the one that had clocks really predominant in the trailer?
Yeah, yeah. With the I think that might have been the Jackman one. But
yeah,
I don't
that was the one sure. that...
Yeah. No Didn't one, Joe Wright do that one, or is that another one that he... The most boring director on the planet.
I think Pan was the only real attempt at like redoing Peter Pan.
I think I've seen
way.
Them all. That's Joe Wright. I don't know. I don't know the it's the real life version of Dylan McDermott.
No, the only other one was sadly, was Windy, the one that the guy did Beast of the Southern Wild did. That's another one you're thinking.
I didn't even see that one because that was right around. I think that's the only one I haven't seen because that was right at the beginning of the pandemic, right? I think I don't know. Everything is
yes.
running together anymore.
That's the 2015 one, but the clocks one is from Peter Pan 2003. Because I remember okay. it was on, the trailer was on.
There's a 2003 one?
Yeah. Because every time I would see Ghostly Pirates of the Caribbean, which was like four times because I was 15 and that was a thing.
Not joking, I had no idea this existed until this moment.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. That the whole trailer was just the entire song of clocks with Peter Pan footage.
Yeah.
What was
the music video basically?
You know, one of the ones that was super prominent growing up for me was the stage play with like Julie Andrews.
Yeah. That was a huge
player Julie Andrews?
In my house too. Yeah.
Somebody.
I think so. That's God. Who I have remembered as is Julie Andrews. So, maybe we've both been Mandela affected, but that's what I remember as well.
Well, I mean, I was like four when I was watching these things. So I don't. I probably need to go back and rewatch that, and it'll explain a lot of things on how I ended up. Well, Richard, what are your thoughts on Peter Pan before we dive into this film?
I'm like a perfect hybrid of the two of you in that I too loved the Disney one as a kid. Probably more you're in my age versus Brian, who's probably a little older for it, but like. Little Mermaid and Peter Pan were my jams and on, you know, the big white puffy box VHSs. I think they were the only two I owned. Big player. Hook, I was too young for, but still saw, but it scared me when I was a kid. I remember being terrified of it. Saw it later on, and then it was like kind of too late. I think if you see it too late, it's like, and then the myriad different versions that have happened at different times throughout the last 30 years. So my point is I'm very much into Peter Pan. As a property, but I'm also like Kent, but I'm Peter Panned out like Brian. So, right there with you.
Yeah. I think what intrigued me the most about this one was the director and I'm in on, okay, we can do Peter Pan again. If we have a fresh take on it, a new approach on it. If the approach isn't let's just remake Peter Pan, I think I'm on board. And I think David Lowry's track record with Disney alone and the way Pete's Dragon was received. And Pete's Dragon actually made money, Brian, which I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Apparently it made money. It didn't make a ton, but it did well for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And basically as soon as that one was done, they're like, okay, what else you got? And started working on this one and worked on this script for a long time before they felt like it was in a place that they could do it, mainly because of how racist the first one was.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, if we do an adaptation of this, true to Disney fans or what they would expect this to be, how can we make it not racist? So that was a lot of the work. And, you know, obviously trying to stay faithful to that Disney film, but also do something new. And different with the story and characters and all that stuff. So there's a lot of thought put into this, delayed by the pandemic, eventually got around to it. By the time they did, essentially Disney's entire strategy had changed on how they do things, how they release things. This one disappointed me as being a Disney Plus streaming only because I was like, man, these flying scenes would have been awesome in a theater. Would have loved to see that. So I just thought the scale of this one was made for a big screen, but I felt like this one really, really could have been served better by being on a big screen. Having said that, let's dig into the review here. What I liked about it was how it took inspiration from the original Peter Pan in the design of the characters without fully going in on we're just doing those characters. Like some of the costuming was the same, you know, essentially the look and of like they took the animation and said, let's just cast people that kind of look like this, which I thought was kind of, especially for John and Michael, the two kids. I was like, this is like super eerie how like basically true to life of how I would have imagined this to be if it was live action as a child. And weirdly, Jim Gaffigan as Mr. Smee looked like the cartoon perfectly. Maybe that's why he got cast in that role, but I thought that was pretty dead on. I liked that. Like, okay, what let's take a look at the original Peter Pan, the one that we all grew up on. What can we take away from that into this new one? And I think the design of the basically of those characters, right? It's seeped into our being, our subconscious at night, right? Of how we view what we want those characters to be. So I thought leaning into that, instead of going the Hugh Jackman Pan way, where it's like, all right, we're bringing in a production designer and look at these crazy cool costumes and look how, like I felt like they had good costumes, but it was still inspired by the original, but it wasn't like the Dumbo movie where it was just fully doing the original. So I thought the cross section between the Lowryism and the Disneyism, I loved in this aesthetically. Now, as for the movie itself, good, not great, right? I think that's how I feel about it. I thought there were some great moments. To your point earlier, Brian, I'm not sure if it was a miscast, but I just, something about Jude Law didn't work for me as Captain Hook. I thought he was good. Yeah. I don't know if like somebody else could have been better. I don't know if he was inspired too much by, oddly, Dustin Hoffman's performance in Hook or on the kind of energy he brought to that. But I don't know. I just wanted something more from that character. And maybe if we had gotten that, it would have really taken this to a new level. But what I liked about this was it was a completely new, fresh take on a Disney property. And had some real genuine heart and soul put into it. This was not a cash grab. This wasn't an assembly line movie. And you can see that and feel that in it. I felt that. I don't know if you guys did. But I think like visual effects wise, there's some stuff that doesn't work quite as well. And maybe that's has to do with, okay, this is going to be Disney Plus. We're not giving you the money to quite do these as good as they could be. I thought story-wise, how they laid it out, I thought the script was nice, and I thought aesthetically, this thing was really pretty, just super pretty. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, this is kind of an odd one within David Lowry's filmography. I feel like at this point, and he's not a super prolific director. He's still pretty young in his career, so. You know, whatever, that's part of maybe in 5 or 10 years, this won't feel like an outlier to me. It kind of felt like it was made with about 80% effort, if I'm being honest. I think the aesthetic is kind of cool. I'm with you, Ken. I thought it was a fun sort of adapting the Disney version of this. What is it, like 1953 or something like that? Trying to adapt that version while also sort of incorporating, in theory, like some of the book, but really, I think more just like the dozens of interpretations of that book to this point, you know, kind of glomming those things together was an interesting deal. I liked a lot of the set design. I thought a lot of the visual effects were pretty solid.
I thought the crocodile scene was really well done. That visual effects was really well done.
For sure.
I thought the thing visually effects wise that didn't work to me was Tinkerbell in general.
Yeah, Tinkerbell as a whole was kind of a little bit off in this one. You know, I love David Lowry and I'm going to be excited for his next film. Even if I hated this, which I don't, it would not make me unexcited for whatever he's going to do next. I think that he is somebody who is capable of making a masterpiece at some point. I think he's an incredibly talented director. It did just feel a little bit like this was sort of a pandemic project. And sometimes some of those have turned out okay, have turned out well. This one felt like maybe half, maybe 80% effort is unfair, but like it didn't feel like as inspired as I was hoping that David Lowry would bring to this story wasn't all there for me, unfortunately. And so, you know, there's some stuff that I thought was cool. I'm with you in that it wasn't just, I'm really glad that it wasn't just like basically a shot for shot minus one scene remake of the 53 or whatever Disney animated movie. Adding some different story elements was cool. I liked the crocodile scene, like you mentioned, the concept of you know, Captain Hook and Pan having, spoiler alert, having a prior
relationship.
Yeah. But that was cool. I don't know if that's in the book or not. If I've read the book, it was so long ago, I don't remember. I thought some of that stuff was really nice and added to the story. It just wasn't a wholehearted movie the way that I expect from David Lowry. But also, to be honest, like, I think two out of the four kid cast members were not good, and that hurts the vibe. I'd love to talk about Jude Law too, but I thought Ever Anderson, who plays Wendy, was very good, or at least good. And Alyssa Wapatonic, I probably butchered that really bad, Wapanatak, was as Tiger Lily. I thought she had a really great presence. She's not in the movie very much, but I thought she had really good presence. You know, Tinkerbell, I didn't think was so good, and it's unfortunate, especially I never like dunking on kid actors, especially not so good from Peter Pan. Not a lot of stage presence and charisma from that kid, unfortunately. And it's kind of hard to have it's kind of hard to get a good movie when the titular character is just kind of a bland and not a great performance.
You know, if he wasn't that great, imagine being David Lowry, and we know his aesthetic, like what he looks for.
Sure.
That's the best kid he could find. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, imagine the lengths that they went to just to find him.
Right. No, I mean, for sure. I'm watching, just spoiler alert for my weekly recommend. I've been watching this show on Netflix called Sweet Tooth. The second season just dropped for that. Forte was in the pilot a couple years ago and stuff.
Yeah.
And the kid in that, his name's Christian Convery, is really good and plays this character really well. And so I binged a couple episodes of last night. I turned the movie on. I watched the end of the basketball game. I watched like the last half of an episode of Sweet Tooth that I was binging. And then I popped on Peter Pan and Wendy, and I was just like, gosh, this kid is so bad compared to the kid in the show that I think is really good. And maybe that didn't help, but I just, your movie, if it's got a bunch, and I'll turn it over to you, Richard. I know I've been ranting forever, but like, if your movie is based around child actors, the child actors have to be good. And it's a risky play because so many of them just aren't good because they're kids. And that's the way it goes sometimes. But this one in particular, I mean,
well, we can dunk on Tinkerbell because she's 23 and went to Harvard. So
okay. Okay, wrecked, not good. To be fair to her, not put in a very good position. I think Peter Pan put in a good position, not a good actor, or at least just he's a kid. The Tinkerbell, that was the worst. I felt like that was the worst part of the story.
That was the worst part. How do we get Tinkerbell involved? I mean, there are some payoff moments with, you know, fairy dust and things like that, which we can get to. I mean, spoiler alert for a 53-year-old film, actually.
Yeah, what are we going to do?
You know, walking the plank, the payoff there with the fairy. Like, there is some use for Tinkerbell, but, like, dude, Tinkerbell's the most marketable, recognizable character in this movie. Like, you've got to have something bigger, better for that, I think. And to me, that was a disappointment.
I agree.
I mean, just in general, just overall, all around, character design wise, but just all around needed to be done better. What did we think of the way the pirate ship and the pirate stuff was done? Because I thought the setup was pretty rough. Like, let's get to Neverland was pretty rough. But once they get there, and Captain Hook is kind of inserted into the story, I thought the movie really sailed, guys.
Got him. Perfect.
Wow. What a pro. Letter
I love the Pirates of the Caribbean type aspect to that. I thought that was aesthetically what I wanted this to be. And I thought there were some big, really fun moments. The moment when Peter Pan jumps down and like slices the sail, you know, like there are some really epic shots in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, there's like, to your point earlier, there's Lowry moments where like you go, oh, that's why you get David Lowry. Those kind of, but they're like,
there was like 5 to 10 never more where I was than like, ooh, yeah, you know?
Yeah. But they're never more than 45 seconds long. And so
never more than two seconds long, maybe.
Right. And so I came out of this really thinking like, why even, I don't know. It was like not really a shot on Lowry, even though I do think this is kind of a, to Brian's point, like pandemic / 80% effort kind of thing. But I also kind of came out thinking like you could have gotten 96% of this movie with like just a, it's kind of the Ron Livingston sprint commercial paradigm where like why pay David, not that David Lowry's that expensive, but why put the prestige of someone like him on something when you could have just done it? You could have shaved something off of this and just done a very capable Disney Plus Peter Pan. And
well, I think there's a few reasons. First would be like, I think he was super committed to shooting this on location. And I do think that made a difference.
Sure.
Maybe it's the Green Knight locations that he was at that I felt like he was inspired by. So, okay, let's just do Peter Pan here in sort of this Irish mountainside type location. I liked that. I think a lot of directors, if Disney just puts out the feelers to agencies, hey, we're doing Peter Pan, send us your directors. I think a lot of directors would say, here's my vision. We go on a green screen and here's the CGI concept art that I have already for it. You know, and that's the sale. And they're, oh yeah, great. Streamline this bad boy out. So I do think we got some true, like, I don't know, old school movie making with this movie that we might not otherwise get with some of these Disney movies, Disney remakes. So I think Lowry brought that to the table.
Yeah, I could see that. This is not like a wholly un-Lowry movie or anything like that, but I do.
It's 70% Lowry. It's 70. That's how I felt.
I might lean lower than that. I think the bigger point, Richard. I don't speak for you, but this is. I think this has been one of the big problems with these live action remakes that they've done is, you know, you hire. Guy Ritchie's hit or miss for me, but if you hire Guy Ritchie to do Aladdin, then I expect it to kind of feel like a Guy Ritchie movie, and it did not.
Yeah.
And Tim Burton is no way more miss than hit for me. But
it was super disappointing.
Yeah, but if you're exactly, and if you know, again, I don't like Tim Burton really very much, especially in whatever year that was, the Dumbo movie came out. I don't remember anymore. But if you're gonna make a Tim Burton movie, then let's make it. If you're gonna hire him to do your movie, then let's make it a Tim Burton-y. Yeah. Dumbo movie.
Feel very by committee.
Movies. For sure. And look, I know that's sort of the reputation with Disney with the MCU movies. I don't always get that from the MCU. I rarely get that, if I'm being honest. I think there's some real directorial touches in a lot of those movies.
I feel like they're more like quarterly with those, though. Like maybe they're not per movie, but like they'll allow a director to like set the tone for the next 5 Marvel movies.
Sure.
That's or something, true. You know, yeah. They go, oh, yeah. That's good. And then the rest will kind of like, no matter who's directing, will kind of fall in line with that. Whereas this just all feels kind of from the get-go, a little boilerplate.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's just, that's especially disappointing to me with this movie, just because I love David Lowry. Like, again, Guy Ritchie's not really my guy, if you will, but I respect what he does. It's just kind of hit or miss for me. David Lowry up to this point, even with a movie like Green Knight that I think in the moment I was a little bit perplexed by and wasn't quite as in on as I really wanted to be. But afterwards, especially, it was like, gosh, it's visually compelling. There's so many great elements of the Green Knight, even while feeling like it kind of left me a little bit cold. I love David Lowry. And I think he's like I said, he's capable of making truly great movies. And so for this to come out and be like, to your point, Ken, I think you're right. Like, look, the location and the, you know, some of these things definitely are, you know, feel of, I get that, but the movie as a whole just doesn't really embrace what I think of when I think of Lowry and his movies. And so that's especially disappointing. And when you add that to, you know, a story that I think is, you know, we all said is kind of tired at this point, because we get 1,000 Peter Pan movies a year. It makes for an uninspiring couple hours on screen, I think.
Let's just maybe in general say that if Steven Spielberg, quote unquote, can't do it perfectly, then maybe no one can, and we should stop trying. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, there might just be some properties, fellas, that just shouldn't, like, don't work as big, epic live action movies. And that's fine. You know, let's do something else. I don't understand the Pinocchio is another example. I mean, Del Toro had a really different take on it,
mm-hmm.
which is why I think it resonated. But it's another one that's just something about it. When you take it away from that original Disney Jiminy Cricket style, that just doesn't work. And we need mm-hmm. to stop trying. So yeah, I think there is certainly some of that at play here. Was I on anything with Jude Law in the casting there? Would somebody else have done more for you in that role?
I don't know if we've ever talked at length about Jude Law. He's a good actor. I think I might be lower on him than consensus. He's had a lot of performances over the years. I'm like, I don't really get it. I mean, he's had some very good performances too. I'm not trying to call him a hack or something. I'm not sure that he's quite the floor raiser that his reputation might.
I feel like he's English Ben Affleck.
Okay, that's an interesting comparison. All right.
Doesn't have the directorial wrinkle, but like, if it's good, he's good in it. And if it's not, he's not going to make it better. Like, he'll just sink to the level of whatever he's in. I did name my son after him, because I love him that much. No.
I'm trying to remember my most memorable Jude Law performances, and it's not a lot come to mind. Maybe
Alfie, just the remake of Alfie over and over again on a loop.
Yeah. I mean, Parnassus.
The last party was kind
of. And a little bit of Parnassus kind of resonated with me.
Mr. Ripley, he's pretty good.
Mr. Ripley, AI, maybe.
Road to Perdition a long time ago. I mean,
yeah.
Contagion was good. It's not like he's a hack. It's just.
No.
You know, it's. He's not somebody that.
King Arthur, 2017. My bad. He was the giant snake.
Yeah, he was. He was. The beginning of the giant snake universe hasn't gone anywhere yet, unfortunately. Thanks, COVID.
He's good in Hugo. He's a fine Watson, but that's meh. But the problem was from 2002 to about 2006, he was in 1,600 movies.
Right. Right.
So that was the problem too.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Holiday. He's great in that.
It's sort of a strange. I put it this way: he's not somebody that when you cast him, like, oh yes, Jude Law. I'm always like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I guess. I mean, he is great in Hugo. You're right, and I think that he's probably. I don't know how to put that. He's a very talented guy who maybe isn't quite as talented as maybe isn't talented enough to raise material all that much. At least in my opinion.
I thought
he was fine in this.
I don't think he raised the material at all. I imagine if that role was Robert Downey Jr. in this movie.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be so much more than this was?
Sure.
I feel like that role has so much potential. It's kind of got that Captain Jack Sparrow energy to it that you can really kind of take it as weird as you want to go with it. Yeah, he didn't really lean into that as much. I like the design of it, though, and the Captain Hook's hook being like this rusted, fishing hook instead of this shiny thing like it was in Hook. So I thought that was a cool decision.
Yeah, I like that. I character design-wise, I thought it was pretty good. And I think you can see the various inspirations for that character all combined there, and I think that worked out really well. It's just... it's a fine performance. It's not really selling the movie, and the movie maybe could have used that, if we're being honest, because there's a kind of a lack of sell, I think, across the board.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what the end game here for Disney was with this one. Maybe just drive subscriptions to Disney
Plus. Was it always Disney Plus, or was this late
at the outset when Pete's Dragon did well and they said, yeah, okay, start developing this, it was probably thought to be theatrically. But by the time they were ready to shoot it, it was probably a done deal that it was just going to be Disney Plus, I would imagine. But like, hey, if you still want to do this, it's going to be Disney Plus, but here's the budget. Because we promised you this thing, you've been working on it. It's an important property for us to keep relevant for exactly the reason we were talking about, public domain reasons. So, you know what, Dave, go for it. You know, that's how I kind of feel like they
approach it. And I think they want to stay in the David Lowry business. And right. That's part of it too. I mean, there's a world where David Lowry directs a Star Wars at some point or something like that. Or at the very least, please, I should say, you want to keep him on the hook if you can. And
you don't want to piss him off. See what you did right
there. Boom. Yeah. Yahtzee.
Got him. We're just killing it tonight. I mean, it's a good idea. If you have any aspiration, if you're Iger or you know, previously Chapek, if you have any thought of like, hey, we might let this guy direct Star Wars or I don't know, an Iron Man movie or something like that, we want to keep him around, then hey, here's a property that he seems pretty into, and maybe it's a bit of a passion project. We'll kind of live with it. This is what you get in. They do have to figure out this streaming or no streaming thing. I've got to believe that's like very, very high on Iger's to-do list. Like we got to figure out how this works or how it doesn't work, because it's annoying to not know. Like for us, whatever, we're relatively connected, I guess, as far as this stuff goes. But for the average movie goer or movie watcher, it's kind of annoying to not ever know for sure. Like, is it coming to Disney Plus? Do I have to go to a theater? How does this work? I still don't think we totally get how the business model of that works necessarily. And also, except for the visuals, Ken, which you're totally right about, this makes sense as a Disney Plus movie because it's kind of mid, but the back and forth with the Pixar movies and never quite knowing. I some of that's JPEG for sure, but that's something that Iger's got to get straightened out real fast, I think.
Well, in terms of what's coming up for these Disney live action adaptations, they seem to be cranking them out like a factory at this point. We've got another one coming up at the end of this month, Little Mermaid, May 26th. So we'll see how that one does. We have Snow White next year. Next March with Rachel Zegler. Then we've got Mufasa next July. Barry Jenkins.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that's good, but
hopefully I love they're Barry letting Jenkins, Barry Jenkins go to work on that, you know, because I mean, Barry Jenkins is an incredible director. I would really like for that maybe to break the streak of we're hiring big name directors and then just kind of letting them work in their sleep, I guess. I expect more from Barry Jenkins. So hopefully we're going to get a better movie than some of these others. That Little Mermaid trailer is pretty rough, guys. I don't know. We're only a month away, we'll see, but oof,
right when you think this one has no soul, we're about to be just beat over the head with soullessness in 3 weeks. I just can't. I don't know.
Rob Marshall was certainly a choice.
Yeah, that's the opposite of hiring a Chicago director and then just taking
Oscar winning, Best Picture award winning Chicago.
They can just bring the Memoirs of a Geisha energy to it. I think we'll be fine.
We'll be good.
Yeah. I don't know why this one has a TBA release date. I don't know why they're doing this. I mean, I do. Money. Lilo and Stitch, really? We need to do that in live action.
It doesn't. There's been casting news and stuff on that. That's a pass for me personally, but I guess. We'll see what happens it's when Rob Marshall gets his hands on it.
For the young, the Zoomers out there, big Lilo and Stitch fans, I understand it, but I don't know how that one's going to quite translate.
Austin Butler's going to do the soundtrack, I think, for that one, and it'll be great.
Gilbert Gottfried as Stitch? No. That's too late for
hologram
that. Oh, we do have a Hercules movie with Guy Ritchie. Which I think could be fun. Like, I think that's one.
Yeah, but just like, okay, that's great. But please, just let Guy Ritchie be Guy Ritchie. I don't even like him that much. But at least he, say what you will about Guy Ritchie, but at least he has an ethos. You know? I don't know. This has got to get fixed. At the end of the day, these are made to make money, and that's the main goal, is just to have, because Lion King made $1.5 billion, so whatever, but, and everybody who's not a movie critic liked those movies, you know? So I constantly have to kind of remind myself, like, we're in the minority on these live action Disney movies. Most general audiences, generally speaking, like them, and so it is what it is, but they, at a certain point, they got to start being good. At least
so funny that the one I'd be least, if you told me the slate of these, told me they're doing them, the best one is still the first one.
Yeah.
Cinderella.
Cinderella's great. Pete's Dragon is great, but that's a little bit of not quite the same thing. I think the Jungle Book is probably the best one of the bunch for me.
Yeah, so. That's true. Jungle Book's probably the best overall, but. So that one I would have expected, but it's so crazy that Cinderella is the second.
Cinderella
best.
Was really good. Yeah, I really.
Yeah. Really in hindsight, we should all go back and give that a higher grade just for being competent, given what we've seen.
Or a lower grade for starting the trend.
That's true. Could be that.
Yeah, I would say Alice in Wonderland 2010 kind of kicked this off, but Cinderella was certainly, we're all in on this, on this strategy moment. And yeah, if we had only known what was to come. Hey, I'm just getting started on these ones that are going to come out, guys. We got a Hunchback
live action
one.
Black Cauldron, cowards, do it, make it happen.
I know. We've got a Hunchback movie. To me, that one's another one. Like, that could be fun. Like, that seems like easy live action, right?
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants,
because it was about people. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm crazy.
Seems hard one to pull off in today's world, but.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Sure. We'll find out.
We will. Watch that one just be Best Picture.
Yeah. Brendan Fraser as the Hunchback.
Apparently for some reason we're getting Brian, when you say, people love these movies, they're the reason for these. When we ask why,
they make
reason.
Tons of money.
When you ask why are we getting an untitled Cruella sequel?
Right.
It's because of you. Because you went and saw it.
You went and saw this movie, and that's what happens. Yeah.
Yep.
They all do well with audiences, and they pay for more Star Wars movies. I don't know.
If you don't want these to keep being a thing, don't go see them.
Yeah.
It's pretty much that easy. Hit them in the wallet where it hurts the most.
Right.
I said that Peter Pan's most profitable character is Tink. We have a Tink movie, TBA, Tinkerbell, with Reese Witherspoon as a producer, her production company doing it.
Tinkerbell's like, no, I don't think.
That's going to just double down on like every, elementary school age girl and younger is going to be Tinkerbell for Halloween. Like that's going to be an easy sell. Sword in the Stone, they're doing. A Robin Hood they're doing. I don't know how they're going to do that in live action.
They've
already done it 900 times.
Yeah.
A Prince Anders film from Aladdin. Why are they doing a Prince Anders film?
It's because
from Aladdin?
Of you.
No.
It's because of you.
Frozen, right? Not Aladdin, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
It says Aladdin here, but I guess Prince Anders. Yeah, that would be.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Okay. I totally forgot that bit in Aladdin, because Aladdin is a super forgettable movie. Yeah.
Bambi? That just wait for Disney to rip your kid's heart out in the first scene of that.
It's just, live footage.
Who gets to play the hunter that kills Bambi's mom? Billy Bob Thornton?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Can you just see Billy Bob Thornton with like a
out of the steer's nonsense?
Like, you dumb bastard. Can't get over here, you dumb bastard. Just dragging Bambi's mom away by the antlers. Aristocats with Questlove directing. That could be fun.
This is too many movies. This is too many. It's too many.
You guys projects. Did this. You did it. And Moana with the, with Dwayne lot, the Johnson Rock yeah. starring that one is, as his character.
That movie came out 7 years ago. Please, let some things be.
You know why they're doing it? Because the well of Dwayne Johnson relevancy is going to be dry by the time it comes out. So they have to do it now. By the time the nostalgia for Dwayne Johnson comes back around on Moana...
What if they don't
he's
cast
gonna
him?
He's going to be so irrelevant.
Wouldn't that be
he
so
is.
Funny?
No, he is casting.
No, I think there's still a chance they could pull out of that. It would be really funny.
They're going to cast Roman Reigns.
That would be so funny. That would be the ultimate, is if he didn't even get cast in that.
He did the voice and was the design for the character.
The Undertaker is Maui. Jason Maui. Momoa just kills him. John Cena.
What's the Disney conference all the time? Like that they have... Where they announce all their movies, whatever that's called. It's just all of a sudden, all the lights go out, and it's just boom. Everyone's like, "Let's go, Moana." Boom.
Break the walls down.
They should do an Undertaker movie, though. For real, Pixar.
I think they did one on Netflix.
Just come out.
No, I know, but I'm saying Pixar. I want the Pixar movie.
Yeah, I agree. We do need a Pixar-style WWE movie. I would be all in. All right, let's grade Peter Pan and Wendy out before we hit weekly recommends, fellas. I'm going to grade this one somewhere between a B- and a B. So I'm like an 82 on it, something like that. So B- for me. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, exact same. B-. This is barely fresh when I put in my Rotten Tomatoes score.
This is barely fresh for me and still is like the quintessential, besides Hook, the quintessential Disney, Peter Pan remake already.
It's a lot
like
better than a lot of
if I have a kid and he's like, "Dad, I love the Peter Pan. I want to see which one should I watch next? Hook and this is what I'll show him right now."
It's over after that. Yeah.
Yes.
This would be better though if they would have just had the Coldplay soundtrack though. That would have
Lights go out and I can't be safe.
Somebody cut that together.
I thought the amount of shanties would bring this up at least a letter grade for you, Brian.
I'm gonna go B- as well. I was thrilled a couple times. It may be in a theater that would have weighed heavier, but I was bored a lot too. So B-.
Yeah, I thought the Lost Boys could have been done better too.
Yeah, it feels like they're barely.
The way the Hook one did, like all the forts and stuff, was so good. I would have loved to have seen like the world of the Lost Boys explored a little bit more. But let's do a movie called The Lost Boys. How about that? What about the Lost Boys? Not the vampire one.
Yeah. Okay, they're in Neverland,
like Tinkerbell,
but they are
we need
also
a Tinkerbell
vampires,
movie. Like I would see a Lost Boys movie. Like that'd be really sounds fun.
Yeah, I think let's pitch it. A lot of that though too.
All right,
has a lot of Lost Boys to it,
and those are the best parts.
That's true.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, let's hit a weekly recommend.
Weekly recommends.
What you got for us this week, Brian?
Yeah, I already kind of teased it. A little show. It's based on a comic book series that I think Netflix first season was 2021. It's called Sweet Tooth. It's kind of a quirky, weird post-apocalyptic kind of show. It's 10 years after some sort of plague has destroyed the world, but as a result of the plague, a lot of the children, or maybe all the children that are born as hybrids. These like half human, half animal creature things. So like the main character is like half human, half deer. And it's really weird and strange, but it's the show's got a lot of heart to it. It's really quirky and sweet and well done. And I mentioned our boy Forte is a character. He's in the pilot, and then he pops up in flashbacks throughout the course of the show. But season two just dropped last week, about halfway through it. It's 8 episodes a season. It's a pretty easy watch. It's pretty fun and does a good job of having this like sort of it's sort of the antithesis of like The Last of Us, which is has some hope mixed into this just unrelentingly bleak world that that our characters are working in. This is sort of the opposite. It's like a it's a bleak world, but the kind of sweet and charm of it comes through in everything that's happening. So it's a fun watch, and hopefully the second half of season two doesn't disappoint. I don't have to retract this recommend when we come back in next week. What's Sweet Tooth season two now on Netflix. No idea if it's getting picked up for a third season or if it ends on a cliffhanger or anything like that. So if it does, that's not on me. I'm really enjoying it so far.
It's on you.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair too.
Richard, what you got?
Yeah, I've got a book out this week. This is definitely a Brian book, I think. It's called Look For Me There. It's by Luke Russert, who was Tim Russert's son, former Meet the Press host. So it's about kind of leaving
American treasure, Tim Russert.
Yeah, Tim Russert rule. It's about kind of following in his dad's footsteps and kind of suddenly quitting his job and traveling the world, trying to find kind of solace in his dad's death and kind of belated grieving. Look For Me There, the title is where they would always meet at baseball games. So if we get separated, look for me there, you know, at that spot is where we'll meet and all that. So I'm really kind of a cool father-son memoir, even though, the father's no longer with us, even as the book starts. But yeah, it's also a great kind of travel log because, I mean, he literally traveled the entire world, it seems like. So it's a lot of different things. But Luke Russert's a cool guy, Kornheiser guy. So, you know, we ride for those. And his dad was certainly a big player and kind of a really missed factor in American politics, I think. And I think you'd both enjoy it. But it's definitely a big Brian recommend for sure.
For sure. I'll give that a try. That sounds good.
Love it.
Love Russell.
I am going to recommend another Turn Off Your Brain TV show, fellas. These are my favorite kinds of shows.
I need put it on the background. Stop.
Unwind from a long day. Maybe you need, you know, I qualify this show as kind of meditative, to be honest. It's How It's Made, fellas.
Oh, yeah.
Had this one on in the background, prepping for the draft this past week. It was the most soothing experience to watch factories making products. And it was like borderline ASMR, like serotonin hit with it. So if you ever, want something soothing to take your mind off things, well, How It's Made. Check that out. Science Channel for you.
Nice.
Just watch some, some eyeglasses being shaped, you know, with a machine, or maybe some ceramic tiles being poured. You know, it's very soothing. Love it.
Nice.
How It's Made. And the narration, guys. I want that job. Then they pour it into the extruder. Classic. All right. Hey, one thing I want to do before we get out of here. I mentioned it off the top, the Mount Rushmore of MAM directors. I have my own list of who that would be. And Lowry's on it. Who do you think would be the MAM Mount Rushmore of directors?
I would say best Dave Chappelle as Dylon.
Lowry.
I would say Lettier, because he shoots hot fire. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're saying this about a man who's literally about to ruin Fast during the last
or
movie.
Make it great again. Yes.
The odds that one's the worst one are like pretty very high at this point. Yeah.
Pretty high. Pretty high. But the spinning camera might add to the whatever they're doing.
Yeah, you put that thing on a charger. Who knows what could happen?
Yeah, what about spinning camera on a Pontiac in space? Telling me that wouldn't be better? Might be. Could be better. Could be better.
Yeah. My list, tell me if you disagree, is Lowry, Chloe, Gerwig, and Denny. Like, I feel like those are the ones we've discovered and kind of championed from the outset that we can claim, essentially.
Okay. Yeah, I can go with that. So you're saying we could not have claimed Spielberg or Fincher or Scorsese?
We can, but I feel like we might have some cease and desist coming our way if they went back and look at the evidence and the record.
Yeah, it's a pretty good list. It's a pretty good list. I like that. Yeah.
Maybe it's a great amount
somewhere.
Who?
Yeah, Chazelle.
Yeah, your guy.
Chazelle? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
We were pretty in on Chazelle. I feel like Denny from the outset, when we previewed Prisoners, we were all like, just wait for this guy. Just wait. You know? Like we could all sense that this guy was gonna be somebody to be reckoned with.
Sure.
We're right so far. So we'll take that. Speaking of, Dune trailer dropped today, Brian. Did you watch it? Or it's going
to
drop tomorrow?
I haven't seen it yet. It's only a teaser today. I think the trailer comes tomorrow. I've gotten to where I don't watch trailers anymore unless I'm... Like, if I'm in the theater, I don't... It's not like I run out. Like, no, I haven't seen this yet. But I don't... I'll make exceptions for, like, a Star Wars trailer. But for the most part, I don't seek them out. Unless our friend Tanner cut the trailer, then I will to support her. But otherwise, I just kind of let it pop up in the theater generally. And I'm like, oh, cool. This looks awesome. Rather than seek it out beforehand. Cause I'm going to see it 1,000 times anyway, you know? So especially if it gets picked up on like, if Dune is the official movie of the NBA in November, I'll see that trailer 4 billion times. Like I saw the Evil Dead Rise trailer a billion times over the last couple of weeks. That was a terrible experience. Did not enjoy.
The irony of the official movie of the NBA being called Evil Dead Rise is so funny.
I hate it. It's about David Stern, I guess.
So, yes. But
yeah.
How dare you? He's missed and you know it.
I know it. I know. Just be
Donald Stern.
Come back, but be just a little less racist. That's all.
Tough L for us in 2000s. 90s and 2000s.
We were so excited for Adam Silver, and look where we are now. You're up
all
next,
right.
Mark. The-
More conversation coming from us this week in the VIP feed. So we're headed to the after party there. Join us at madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP. Thanks for being here. We'll be back next week with Guardians Talk here on Mad About Movies. We love you. See you at the cinema.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
They're making me yah-yah. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
They're calling again.